you ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you rockin'! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Habnot.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
I was invited. I can't speak for other people in the room, but I was invited to the show.
Yes. Today. And also, now you know what this means. This is the final Sunday of the week, of the month. Of course, it's the final Sunday of the week. Final Sunday of the month, which means we have Joey Quesada with us.
Yo, it means ratings are boosted this weekend, my friends.
Spoken like a real Paul Stanley.
Listen, you can't leave the ratings up to Sonny's star power. Come on.
That's brutal. So I know everybody's having a very strange week, but before we get started, I want to bring up a few things that are kind of fun before we get to our fucking awful story that we got to talk about. But a couple of things happened this week, and I wanted to make sure that I also have some mail. So, but first, let's do the mail first.
I know you write me sexy letters.
I got a letter the other day.
I know you write me sexy letters.
U.S. Postal Services?
Yes!
I know you write me sexy letters.
What have you?
I know you write me sexy letters.
Take your dollar and fucking beat it.
We got a couple of letters. I wanted to read them to you guys. And once again, I appreciate every time you guys send us any kind of a letter. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. We got one from Josiah Horn. And Josiah, he wrote us a pretty good letter here. It says, "Hey, friends, here's my thoughts on whether or not Kiss will keep touring after the virus shit is over with." And then he lists a whole bunch of rock stars: Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Elton John, Billy Joel. But and puts their ages there, you know. It says all those rockers were all going strong pre-virus and will be going strong after the virus, except Elton, who's about to retire. So since Gene is the oldest member of Kiss at 70, I reckon Kiss has another decade of performing. Gene and Paul may do some non-makeup solo tours, but we'll still be seeing them in 2030. I don't know about all that shit now, Josiah.
Josiah smoking too much ganja. That's what that is right there.
Gene Simmons, 80 years old. I'm the grandfather of thunder. Okay. it says, anyway, while I'm here, I may as well tell y'all who I think could play Kiss in the movie. Paul. Rami Malek, Gene, he agrees with Sonny that it should be Tom Hardy. Ace should be Adam Driver, and Peter Criss should be Tom, played by Tom Felton. He said, "Love y'all." And then I got a second one. He says, "This is very important and kind of fucked up, so I'm going to read it anyway. You guys will translate this the way you do, and then we'll discuss." It says, "Also, I think having Ace and Peter in the band proves that Paul and Gene could have been successful with any drummer or guitar player."
Woo! Where do we start on that one?
I agree with half that statement.
Yeah.
Listen, I know, people obviously crap on Peter and Ace all the time now, but they are so, if you look back at those early albums, especially, listen, Peter's amazing too, but especially Ace. Ace's guitar playing set them on fire. They were, without Ace, I really believe they were fairly average. Ace really set them apart from other stuff that was going on. He was so electric back then. You know, even everything that he did, whether he was not just his sound and his style, but the solos that he wrote back then, he was so integral of the sound of Kiss back then.
Totally. I think I would say it kind of like you did and agree with Sonny. I mean, I think as long as you had Ace, Paul, and Gene, you could have anybody on the drums probably. Because it worked with Eric Carr just as well as Peter. You know what I mean? So we know it works without Peter Criss. But yeah, Ace is, he's the total guitar sound of Kiss. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, I agree. I think they could have had another drummer and still made it work. But Peter made those songs back then what they were. Could they still have been what, you know, great songs without Peter? Yes, I agree. Maybe not without Ace. But Peter did create a style, much like I think the Beatles, without Ringo, are still the Beatles. But with Ringo, they have this unique style and rhythmic section going on that I think Kiss also had with Peter. Peter created these rhythms that most drummers wouldn't have done back then. Of course, it's still Kiss without him, just like the Beatles are still the Beatles without Ringo. But he did have his own stamp on all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree.
And then there's a persona, right? The Ace, you know, whether you want to call him the crazy uncle, whether he's the Otis, or Andy Griffith Otis, whether he's the crazy guy who's futuristic. And, you know, we're talking about the 70s, which you don't know what the future is going to look like. And this guy's talking about space and space travel. And so the persona connected a lot of people. It got me. He was the one I was most connected with, it seemed like. And to this day, he's still my favorite member. But, you know, there's better singers, the better guitar players, the better bass players, the better all kinds of things. But the persona and everything else you guys said just sets him apart. I don't think anybody could have just put on that makeup in 74 and been the same.
Well, there, now you have our answer for that. let's see. All right. So that was our mail. Don't forget podcast RockCity1. That's the number one at gmail.com.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
So after that now, let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So a couple of things happened this week news-wise, and I'm going to put them in the order that it, so we can talk about them. First, Kiss Online put out a statement that said, if you guys ordered those face masks that had like the printing on them, the Kiss printing and stuff, apparently that's been pushed back because of, well, you know, there's a million reasons, but it's been pushed back, and apparently it says that Kiss face masks, face masks have been updated to the week of June 8th. We apologize for any inconvenience caused by the shipping delay. So you guys will still get your masks, and by you guys, I mean me too. And we just have to wait. We just have to wait a little longer. Also,
what do we mean by inconvenience? By the way, like maybe death?
Yeah, that's.
I'm just wondering. Sorry.
No, it's true. Maybe they were just sitting at home going, I could finally go out as soon as I get this mask. It's not coming till the 8th. Son of a bitch. Now I got to go out by myself. Every time I'm going to say son of a bitch, I'm just going to go, Joey.
Whoa, whoa. What?
No, now you say son of a bitch.
Oh, I thought you
were. Okay, here we go. That. Ready? Joey?
You son of a bitch.
I love the way you say that. It's so funny. Okay, so also, Paul, there was an official Paul Stanley Soul Station Ooh Baby Baby statement. These are challenging times. Long before I ever heard the great British bands, I grew up listening to Philly Soul, Motown, and so much more. I was lucky to see Otis Redding and Solomon Burke, among others. That music and its storytelling gave me strength and hope, even in some tough days. I'm sorry. I can't say it like Paul, so I got to do it.
Try to say it like Paul now? Can you do the whole impression?
No, only if I'm going to be the rock star. The great classics! No, okay. Of the era are magical medicine for most, and I felt myself drawn back to the era for some sorcery. Now he's the wizard. I think we could all use. While it's hard to connect physically, some of Soul Station decided to reach out and make a virtual and emotional connection on a great Motown and Smokey Robinson classic, Ooh Baby Baby. Hope you enjoy, Paul Stanley. So, did you guys get a chance to hear that?
It was just like a little loop, right? Like 15 seconds or something?
No, it was the whole song was released, I think, right?
Yeah.
I only saw like a little tweet about it. No, I haven't heard the whole thing.
Yeah, it's really strange because I'm watching it, and Paul's like, are you ready? I'm ready, Paul. Are you ready? I'm ready, Paul. Are you ready? And I'm not sure it actually was all filmed live like that, because if there's one thing I know from doing this show is that if I was playing music, by the time Jody hears it, it's totally off.
It was not filmed live.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Definitely not.
But was it good? Here's my thing. I enjoyed it. I do have to tell you that watching Paul sing that song, he makes more faces that look like he's in pain.
Totally.
Than when he's like, he's making these faces, baby, baby. And I'm looking, I'm like, if I turned the volume down and didn't know he was singing, I would swear he was busting a nut.
He might have been anyway.
That's true. That's true. However, I will say I did enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it too. I mean, it was well done. The backing singers he had were incredible. Paul was okay. You know, Paul, again, it's just not what I want from Paul. I want Paul to kick ass, and I want to hear, you know, I Stole Your Love. I don't love him doing that stuff. Does it sound okay? Yeah, it sounded good. It was almost all falsetto.
Absolutely.
It was almost Odyssey-esque from The Elder to me. You know, that it was reminiscent of that. It's still a great song, it was a great performance, but it's just a little too fluff for me, for coming from Paul, especially like you said, Joe. Watching him sing it, if I would have heard it, I think I might have just enjoyed it a little bit more. But watching him sing it, it was a tiny bit painful.
he looks like he's in pain when he's singing that song. And he might have somebody down there with a pair of pliers squeezing his nuts so he could hit the...
Yeah, maybe that's not falsetto.
He's like, I was in pain, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I am a huge Motown fan.
Me too.
And so I listened to it and I'm like, okay, that's pretty good, but I might be looking at it and listening to it through the Kiss fan eyes. So I turned my phone around, and my son is a huge Motown fan also, so I turned my phone around so I couldn't see who it was, and I'm like, I want you to hear this, tell me what you think. So I hit play and he goes, wow, that's incredible, who is that? I'm like, that's Paul Stanley. He goes, it is? Right? So he saw it without knowing who it was, and he's a huge Kiss fan, and he thought he was good not knowing who it was. I thought it came out good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that when you heard it. Now, news-wise, I haven't seen a whole lot. Did anything else happen this week? I'm just kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I saw something, and I think I might have read it today, that Kiss is going to be headlining some virtual concert. Is that
right?
Did anyone see that?
I did see that. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
It's just a few days from now. It's like the 9th or the 12th. I have it, and I apologize. When I saw that, I didn't know if it was I haven't been able to get that much information about it.
Right. There's not a lot of details on it. Like, what does that mean? Where is it being filmed? What is it? I don't know much about it.
It's Download Fest 2020. And apparently they're going to have there's a commercial that you could watch. I saw it online and it said Kiss, and it had a ton of bands, tons of bands. And apparently you're going to be able to watch it, I guess, on TV. Now, I don't know how that's going to feel. This might be our very first opportunity to see what it's like to sit at home and watch a band on stage, no crowd. But my thing is are they, I guess we're just going to have to wait, but are they going to have the full stage set up and everything, or is Kiss just going to be in like a hangar somewhere?
Right.
Strapped in and playing. I don't have a problem with that. But if Paul, and I think that would probably kick ass, but if Paul tries to get me, people over there, let me hear you. I'll be like, I don't know where I'm sitting. What section am I in?
He did it on the video. And you see the ooh, baby, baby. He goes, okay, now you. And they would stop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, again, me being a big wrestling fan, Joe, maybe you can attest to this. Yeah. Watching wrestling these past few weeks in front of no audience, and I think they could really do it, but for some reason they're not getting the direction that they should be getting, because they're still trying to play to a non-existent audience rather than really playing to cameras, almost like, you know, a movie or a TV show where, you know, you're doing stuff in front of a camera to play to the TV audience. You're not playing to a live crowd, and the wrestlers have not gotten that yet. And I'm hoping if they start doing these live concerts that, you know, almost like a music video, pretend it's a music video, pretend you're literally just playing to the cameras and filming a video. Don't play to a fake audience and look out to the crowd and look out to an empty arena. Don't fake that, because we can feel when it's fake and there's no vibe there. Play to the audience. Play to the cameras. If there's three cameras, one camera, whatever it is, play to that. You know, you don't have to fake like there's a crowd there.
Yeah, and we'll get more information on this weekend, and we'll post it on our Facebook group page. The other news is unfortunate and tied to our topic of the week, so let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
Yes! I'm dying. I'm it's all dry in my house for some reason. So Bob Kulick passed away this week, and we have received zero details, and it's definitely too early for that, you know. But Kiss did put out a statement and said, "We are heartbroken. Our deepest condolences to the Kulick family and in this difficult time." And said, "To honor Bruce's request, we are posting his statement." His statement is, "I am heartbroken to have to share the news of the passing of my brother, Bob Kulick. His love of music and his brilliant, his talent as a musician and producer should always be celebrated. I know he is at peace now with my parents, playing his guitar as loud as possible. Please respect the Kulick family's privacy during this sad time." And, you know, I've been struggling with this ever since it happened, because truthfully, in the past 6 months, I haven't had anything nice to say about Bob Kulick. And it's one, because I had a personal experience, maybe. I mentioned that on the show that I had an experience that I'm pretty sure involved him, but I don't know for sure, but I was pretty sure of it, and it was really upsetting to me. But it's, you know, I've been struggling with it because I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. You know, I don't want to be this guy that dogs on Bob Kulick and then when he dies goes, oh, you know, what a tragedy. But the truth is, it's a tragedy.
I think there's a way to do both. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
Just because I dogged him doesn't mean I'm happy that he died. This is fucking terrible. There's every one of us has listened to his interviews in the past few months. Every one of us has heard that, you know, has heard Bob's anger over his situation or his version of the situation or whatever was going on. But I mean, I'm very sad that this has gone on. This is terrible. This guy was only 70 years old. He was great guitar player. He true and in true, you know, reality, he helped make some of the music that shapes a lot of our lives. And I mean, my son knows a song that he helped with, you know, with the SpongeBob song, and us as wrestling fans, you know, we know, you know, Joey and I know about the Motorhead song, and then of course there's all the Kiss stuff. So, like I said, I've been struggling with it because I don't want anybody to be like, well, you really, 2 weeks ago, you really dogged him in the Bruce Kulick episode. And I did. But this is, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't. What do you guys think?
I think people understand, dude. I mean, obviously you were a fan of him your whole life, and then he kind of was a dick to you at that event. I mean, we get it, and we all made our jokes about the Grammys and all that stuff, but it doesn't take away the fact that I was still a fan of him all along, you know? And you can say negative things about someone that you like, and doesn't mean you don't like them, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not a big deal, dude. I don't think people are even tripping on it at all. But it is very unfortunate, man. He was a cool dude and a great fucking guitar player, and it just sucks when anyone like that dies, you know?
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, you could disagree with people, you could, you know, even make fun of people, especially like you said, the last few months and of the interviews we've heard with Bob and him going kind of off the rails and stuff, and we all made our jokes with the Grammys and how he's losing his mind and all that stuff. And you know, just because we did that stuff doesn't mean we're not a fan of his. Doesn't mean we don't love his body of work. Right. It just means we thought he was going crazy. He was nuts. You know, he wasn't happy. And, you know, that has nothing to do with the remorse we might feel right now after he passes. Anyone that passes like that, you know, you have to feel that remorse for. Even if there was a personal experience with you, Joe, that, you know, you weren't happy about it, doesn't mean you don't have remorse just because you voiced that opinion. Never feel that way.
Right. I mean, yeah. Sonny?
Yeah, I'm with the guys. I think I can separate the two. First of all, I won't let, although I was partaking, however, whatever Bob was doing or how we were reacting to it the last 12 months, the guy was around forever, right? So I'm not going to let that affect how I felt about his entire career. Hell, there's a guy that's in the Kiss Army that's got two V's, and I got his stuff posted all over my wall still, and I'm still make fun of him. So I think those are just reactions in the moment, and it's newsworthy, and you talk about it. Now, a different set of news has happened. You can't take back things. Hell, you're not going to be able to take back things I said to friends that passed away. Like, that's just how things are. It didn't mean we hated the person. Actually, if we hated the person, we probably stopped talking about him, to be honest. We were probably talking more about what the hell is going on. Like, the guy wasn't anywhere. He shows up, and then he goes kind of off the rails a little bit. What the hell happened, you know?
Right.
So I'm good with it. I think it's sad. We lost a Kiss Army brother. That really sucks. I've met him a couple of times. He seemed like a nice guy. Interviewed him for several places. Ended up having breakfast with him one day. Went to his record release party. Guy seemed like a nice guy. you know, whatever was going on the last 12, 18 months, who knows? But, you know, we all have those periods in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, though, that now that, you know, now that he's gone, do you look at that kind of stuff as like, man, I wonder what if that was kind of like all part of what whatever, you know, the sickness was or whatever the cause was, you know?
You see, that's the thing. Of course, and please out there, you guys forgive us because we're just speculating, but I it's so coincidental, so strange. And of course, we're not going to know if we ever know. Hopefully they'll tell us what if there was something wrong with Bob, then they should have told us beforehand. So there wasn't a show about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
hey, Bob's not well. And I kept hearing that, but I don't know to what extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, obviously whenever someone passes like this, it's tragic and it's before his time. You know, I'm just hoping, and, you know, like you said, Joe, there's not enough details out there yet to really be educated on this. But I'm just hoping that, you know, it was, you know, not that I would wish a sickness on anyone, but I'm hoping that it was something like that, that it wasn't. You know, whether it was self-inflicted, God forbid, or it was some kind of accidental overdose or anything like that. I haven't heard anything along those lines. But, you know, with his state of mind recently, you can't help but at least question that and say, God, I hope that didn't play into it the way he was acting recently. I hope that something didn't happen that really, you know, pulled the final straw and that was the end for him. And, you know, I'm hoping that it was something along the lines of, you know, just a sickness or something that was ongoing problem.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's tough when you don't release the full story. Right. And I can totally appreciate, hey guys, I just lost a brother. The family wants to handle it within the family and, you know, kind of leave us alone. Totally right. Appreciate that. No doubt. Issue is, you don't finish the story. People finish it themselves.
Yeah.
They start going looking at all the stuff that was happening and blah, 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 blah. Right? If something would have been out there that he's got a medical condition and that was kind of in the snippet of guys due to medical reasons, then at
right.
least all the
right.
thinking would be around medical reasons and not stupid stuff that we might be thinking that could have happened. And it's unfortunate, right? Because I think people always want to know why.
It's closure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, Sonny, like you said, too, you know, that it almost leads to more speculation because if there was an illness, usually when something like this happens, the first release from the family or something like that would be he was battling such and such. And, you know, Bruce did say he's finally at peace. You know, I'm hoping that little tidbit, you know, leads us to believe that he was maybe battling some kind of sickness or something that nobody knew about. But, you know, it's too early to speculate. I would hate to even dive further. I just hope that it wasn't something that, you know, self-inflicted or anything like that.
Right. Well, with all that being said, we thought that just like anything else, it'd be great if we got together and celebrated his body of work, especially with Kiss. I mean, he's done a lot of things, you know. But of course, we're a Kiss show, and talking about Kiss is what we do. So we were going to, besides the fact that we were going to say our top five Bob songs, right? That's what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's talk about the things that he's played on. So besides Paul's solo album, right? He also did the Paul Stanley solo tour, the first one. He did the guitar work on a lot of guitar work. Not all of it, though, right? On Unmasked, he played on a few songs, right?
He's definitely on Naked City.
Yeah, that's it, I think.
Yeah,
Naked City, okay. And then Killers,
yeah.
Because Ace didn't play on that at all, right?
Nope.
Right.
And then, now one of the things that's I never really got to the bottom of was that comment that in that one documentary about Kiss when they were interviewing Bob. We talk about it here every once in a while where he said that Ace didn't show up, so he had to play, and Ace walked in and said, "How did I do today?" And Bob said, "Better than you've ever done before," or something like that, you know? And I don't remember them saying what album that was on.
I think that was for Alive 2, but I'm not sure, right?
Yeah,
Alive 2. Yeah. That's what I always thought it was.
Okay. Yep,
that's what I thought. I remember, again, I'm trying to remember the context of the interview. I believe it was for the Alive 2 sessions, but I'm not positive.
It was pretty positive.
And he played all the guitar with Paul on his solo album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except he doesn't do the solo on Hold Me, Touch Me. That's Paul.
Got ya.
I like, Jody, I like the way you said Hold Me, Touch Me, by the way.
That was just for you, Joey. Hidden meanings, all right, man.
So, you know. So besides that stuff, Sonny, you guys out there, can you guys think of anything else he did Kiss-wise?
Nothing credited. Who knows, though?
Yeah, I mean, writing-wise, there might have been a couple other writing things we're forgetting, but I think playing-wise, I think you covered it. Alive 2, Stanley's solo album, Killers, right? A little bit of, like you said, maybe Naked City on Unmasked. Did he even play on that, or did he just write? I don't remember.
I think that solo's him.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
I mean, listen, again, and then the Paul Stanley solo tour. I saw that tour. He was on fire, that tour. I mean, that made me, you know, that was 1989, and I was only 15 at the time. And that made me, you know, as big a Kiss fan as I was already at that time, it really made me go re-examine the solo album, Paul Stanley's solo album, because obviously I knew it, but, you know, I wasn't as into the solo albums back then as I was the classic albums, and even, you know, at that point, the 80s albums that I was a big fan of. So when I saw that solo tour and I heard, you know, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me and Goodbye and all this stuff, and I got to see them from, you know, I saw them front row in Brooklyn at L'Amour, and it really made me re-examine all of that stuff. And I had, you know, I had a bootleg of the concert, so I would watch it over and over again, and his guitar playing was incredible.
Yeah. It's like the whole situation sucks. So, and of course, we can't not deal with this. So, we got to talk about it and deal with it.
Yeah, let's celebrate him rather than
absolutely
speculate. Let's celebrate some of the stuff that he's done, and maybe some of the people listening who didn't even realize some of this stuff, go back and listen to some of these songs because they're great.
Absolutely. So, we're gonna do our top five, starting with number five. You want to go first, Joey?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So again, at the time, you know, this stuff, I don't remember when, like, the information started trickle out that Bob was on certain things. But when I was a kid, I had no idea that was an Ace on Alive 2, side 4. I had no clue. You know, all I knew was Rocket Ride. Obviously, that was Ace. And, you know, the other stuff, yeah, thinking back, I guess some of the solos didn't really sound like Ace solos, but you're not thinking like that as a kid. You know, you had no idea. So, but, you know, looking back, you know, one of my favorite tracks from Alive 2 is All American Man. It's just a classic Paul song. It's my number five for Bob's, you know, appearance in the Kiss world. It's just a great Paul song, great guitar work all around. And, you know, now knowing that Bob's on that song, of course you can hear the differences. It's night and day. It's not, you know, listen, I love Ace. I think Ace is a unique player, but you can hear the differences in their playing. Now that you know who's playing on it, you could pick it out right away. But All American Man would be in my number five song.
Cool.
Right on.
Jody?
I have a Larger Than Life. You know, same reasons. As a kid, I didn't realize that wasn't Ace, but once you know, it is pretty obvious. And I don't know if you guys ever heard a different demo version. I don't remember if it's on the box set or what. But there's a killer demo of Larger Than Life. It has Wade, a couple different solos that are super smoking. And I don't know, man.
I don't think I've ever heard that. Is that on the box set?
I don't know if it's on the box set or where it's at, but you can. I bet you anything you can find it on YouTube.
YouTube, yeah, I gotta look it up.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, I always thought that was a fucking smoking guitar solo. Even just the Alive 2 regular version, it rips. You know what I mean? And it's weird because it's in that slower groove, and that's, you don't get that a lot in Kiss, especially in, you know, mid 70s.
Right. Sonny?
For me, the approach I took was, especially because when you hear my top five, you're going to be like, what the hell are you doing? I didn't really pick my top five favorite Bob Kulick Kiss songs. I went down the Bob Kulick solos instead. And that changes up for me, right? Because some of the solos, well, some of my favorite Kiss songs he was involved with, there's not much of a solo in it at all, right? So I kind of mixed the two, I guess, is the best way to put it. Now, for me, whether it was Alive 2, whether it was Unmasked or Killers, I had no idea. It was an ace. And then initially when I heard about the solo albums, you got to remember, I'm going backwards, right? So when I hear about solo albums, I'm like, so they all played, but only one of the guys is on the thing? Like, only one of the guys' pictures there, but it's all the same guys? So for me, if you wouldn't have told me any different, I would have thought it was ace on everything until you kind of read the credits. And when you read the Paul credits, you can tell, but the other three, you can't really tell anyway. But anyway, my number five is, it's not flashy, but it fits the song well, I'm a Legend Tonight.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
it's good. He didn't really do anything bad with the band, you know what I mean? If he's on it, it's usually pretty fucking right on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I like your approach to that. I just would pick my favorite songs that I knew he played on, and actually my number five was Nowhere to Run. I got a big, and when cheese I say wheel. Big, cheese wheel, for, I have a big boner for the Killers album, man. I love that record. I love every part of it. I love the songs that they... That, you know, the new songs on it. I love the way the old ones run, the order they run. So that's where I go with that. I love that song, and I mean, I struggled not to just pick the four songs on that album and just move forward. Let's see, Joey.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on Killers. My number four is actually with Sonny. I'm a Legend Tonight. I remember so vividly, again, you got to remember, I'm a huge Kiss fan all my life since I'm 5 years old, and I know everything about Kiss. I think I do at this time anyway. You know, early 80s, you know, maybe this is might even be like mid-80s at this point. I think I am the be-all, end-all of Kiss fans, so I know everything there is to know. So I remember vividly, I was at lunch with my friends during grammar school, and we were at Roy Rogers at the time. And my buddy of mine pulls out this cassette, and it's a cover that I've never seen before. And I lose my freaking mind because, number one, it's Eric in makeup on the cover. It's a cover, a Kiss album that I've never heard of. And you got to understand, I think I know everything there is to know about Kiss at this time. And he's like, no, this is Kiss Killers. You never heard this album? This is, you know, like a greatest hits, but there's like four new songs on it. I'm like, you're crazy. There's no such thing. And I look at this album and I literally lose my mind. I took my friend's cassette. I literally said, dude, you're not getting this back. I took it from him. I went home. I dubbed it, of course, you know, back then when you had the double cassette decks.
Oh, yeah.
And I lost my mind. Kiss Killers became, you know, especially those four songs became one of my all-time favorite things to listen to as a kid, because it was something that I'd never heard before. And it was with Eric Carr, and I was just so mesmerized by it, I fell in love with all the tracks. So I'm a Legend Tonight would be my number four. I was so infatuated with Kiss Killers when I was a kid.
I understand that 100%. Jody?
All right, so my method was just pick my favorite songs that I know Bob is on, so I wasn't really even thinking about the solos that much. But all of mine from here on out are from the Paul Stanley solo album, mostly because, you know, in all the Kiss shit that he did, they wanted him to try to be like Ace, you know? But on the Paul solo record, it's just Bob and his style, which is similar to Ace, obviously, but Bob has a few little techniques and things that he does that are a little bit cooler than some of the shit Ace does. You know what I mean? A little more technical. But I had to go with Take Me Away, dude. I always have loved that song.
You love that song.
Fuck yeah, it's great.
That's a good one.
It's one of my favorites. But yeah.
Sonny?
So, my next pick is Tonight You Belong to Me. And I remember the first time I heard it, because it's, you know, you put the solo album on and you're listening and you're like, all right, okay, that's pretty good, pretty good. And it's like, is the solo ever going to come? And it's pretty late into the song, right? I'm like, are these songs not going to have guitar solos? And, man, it's a really flavorful solo. And I love the outro pieces he does, too. And it's just, it's a killer tune. It was hard because I listened to the 17 songs we talked about earlier and listened to them all. And I'm like, okay, don't get caught up in the riff because you don't know if Bob really had anything to write, you know, do with that. Don't get caught up in the vocal melody because most likely Bob didn't have anything to do with that. So it was listening through a different lens. And you listen to that solo, it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's my number four is Move On. And I love the solo in that song at the end, especially where he's like, bum, 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 bum. That's just, that's, when I heard it originally, I would have thought that would have been Ace Frehley, but it wasn't. It was Bob. And when you get older and you listen to it, you start realizing the style is really different compared to Ace. But I mean, when I was a kid, I just thought any guitar player can play whatever the fuck they wanted to. And that's just how it was. You know, just like I thought that Peter Criss used rototoms in Unmasked. And no, he didn't. So
sure, of course.
Yeah, Peter Criss and his rototoms. Anyway, so that's my number four is Move On. Joey?
So like I said earlier, you know, I got reinfatuated with Paul's solo album after seeing the 89 solo tour. And, you know, again, I always liked the album. I just never loved the album like Ace's solo album. But after seeing the solo tour and especially having this bootleg that I had at the time, this video bootleg, I was so into the solo album that, you know, it brought total new life to all of the songs to me. And again, that was one of my gripes always about Paul's solo album and compared to Ace's. I never thought the production was as good as Ace's. Ace's had this live vibe to it, where Paul's always seemed a little dull to me. And even the guitar work, I thought always, you know, just the production-wise on the guitar work seemed a little dull to me. But after seeing the song live, which is Wouldn't You Like to Know Me, especially with Eric Singer on drums at the time, with Bob on guitar live, it brought it to a whole new level. It had that energy that I was missing from the record. Now, when I go back and listen to it on the record, it sounds much better to me because I feel like I can almost hear that live version in my head. But the live version of Wouldn't You Like to Know Me from 1989 solo tour is really what got me into it.
Cool.
Nice.
Jody?
My number three is It's All Right. Just because it sounds exactly like Kiss, you know, rules. That's all you have to say.
That's it. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Sonny.
My number three was Move On. And, you know, it's just that straight ahead rock solo. It's a little bit longer. Even the little overdub pieces he's doing in the choruses or over the verses sound great. The outro solo is great. And, you know, even Paul encourages him to play the guitar. Remember? Play that guitar. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And what I noticed today when I was listening to Paul's record, I'm like, man, there's not a lot of huge outro solos, but there's a lot of, like, drumming outro stuff. He was trying to showcase the drummer, I think.
Yeah.
He's trying to give Peter Criss some hints.
Yeah, you know, I'm really bad at... I'm really bad at remembering a lot of things, especially I'd say the last 10 years of my life. I feel like they've gone by, you know, really fast and kind of blurry. But fortunately for myself, when I was on the Kiss cruise a few years ago, I had the opportunity to see Bob play with Paul, and I had the opportunity to see Bob play with Bruce on that. And when Paul was doing he basically did a little acoustic thing. And I can't remember if I'm right or wrong, but the song I love anyway, but I'm pretty sure it was Ain't Quite Right, Bob and Paul did together.
It was. I remember because you sent it, and I had to edit, we used it.
Yeah. And if you listen, just listen to that, the guitar playing in that. It's so unlike anything Ace would ever do, I think.
Right.
And it's more like Santana. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very sad. Yeah. You're right. You're right. And it's just very good. He's just a very well-rounded guitar player, and that's how you become a studio musician. You walk in, they say, "What do you want?" And somebody goes, "I want Jimmy Page." He gives it to Jimmy Page. If he wants Eddie Van Halen, he could do that too. But Ain't Quite Right is that was my number three. Joey.
Yeah. So my number. What are we up to? Number two, right?
Yep.
My number two is Tonight You Belong to Me. Again, it's probably my favorite song off the solo album. It's just the perfect Paul / Kiss song. It's, you know, it has that acoustic intro, much like I Want You. It led that album off so perfectly. I thought, when I remember hearing that for the first time, I was like, oh my God, yes, this is great. And it had the opposite effect of me as, you know, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me. I love this song right from the get-go off the solo album. I thought the production was great. I thought it was the perfect way to lead off that album. And Bob's guitar work was just stunning on it. It, you know, all the way through. You know, it's always hard to tell what Paul is doing, what Bob's doing. Obviously, Bob's doing the solos, but, you know, Paul is an underrated rhythm and acoustic player. So it's hard to tell what he's doing and what Bob's doing. But overall, it's just a great guitar song.
I agree.
Absolutely. I'm right where Joey's at. Yep. My number two is the same song for all the same reasons. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Sonny?
You know, we were talking about Killers earlier. And so I'm going backwards. I'm getting all the albums. And you start realizing, like, what was released before what and what order did it go in, right? Because we don't got an internet that says, here's the discography, right? So you're trying to put it together. And then you realize that you got Creatures and then you got Killers. And it's like, well, then where the hell did this dumpster fire called the Elder come from if they had this shit in the tank? You know what I mean? And I totally love Killers. And my next pick is Nowhere to Run, because even though the vocal is out of this world and it's a little over the top and possibly at the top of Paul's range, although later we found out he can go even higher, the solo is not overboard, right? The solo is very restrained. It absolutely fits the song. He does little licks in them, and it's totally cool. And I'm glad he didn't do something that was over the top.
Yeah. It is pretty sweet when he's kind of dialed back into the Ace mode, isn't it?
Yeah. Isn't it cool how some people can just pull that shit off and do that kind of thing? It's just really amazing. My number two is I'm a Legend Tonight. It's really weird how we picked a lot of the same songs. But that Killers album just, I probably listened to it more than I listened to Double Platinum.
Hmm.
I would say I don't know that there's something about that cover too that really does it for me. I can't really explain it. I know Eric Cars in there, and that's terrific, but there's something that always draws me to it, and maybe it's because I know I can hear classic Kiss also and some songs that weren't at the time necessarily, you know, greatest hits, although they are now, you know, but so that's where I'm at. I'm a Legend Tonight. Joey, your final song.
Again, I'm right with you. That Killers record for me is so, so important in my Kiss fandom. Just because of what I said, I had no idea that even existed. I'm sure if it was just a regular album for me, I wouldn't love it as much as I do. But because of the way I discovered it years after that it was released, and because, like you said, Eric Carr is not only on it, but on the cover. That cover to me, again, you're probably right. It's not that great of a cover, but that cover to me is so, so captivating. When I saw that for the first time, I really lost my mind. And my favorite song from that record, which is one of the, it's funny to me, it's one of the ones that no one ever talks about, Partners in Crime. It's my favorite song on that. I don't know if it was Eric's drumming that got me into it, or the chorus, or it it was, to me, was the standout of the four songs. I love that one way more than Nowhere to Run. I love Nowhere to Run too, and that one, I think, over the years has become, I guess, the standard of that record. But Partners in Crime, for me, somehow always had that primal Kiss vibe to it, especially the way it started with the drums. So that would be my number one Bob Kulick appearance.
Great.
Nice.
Jody?
I don't think it's any surprise to anyone that's ever listened to the show what my number one would be. I've been preaching about this song for like almost 10 years now, or whatever, how long it's been. But it's Wouldn't You Like to Know Me, dude. That's the best Paul Stanley song.
I know you love that. I saw him perform it live. I recorded it and sent it to you.
Yeah, it ruled. The thing about that song is, you know, anyone else does it at that, even in 78, it's a fucking hit for Rick Springfield or whoever, Sammy Hagar, whoever it might have been. But, you know, just because it was Paul Stanley, not a hit. But it should have been.
Should have been. Sonny, number one.
Okay, so for a feel guitar player, right? So when you're not listening to, I don't know, the Yngwie Malmsteens of the world, and you know, you want a little feeling, you're listening to guitar players that are like Bob. And for me, the hardest stuff to pull off is the ballads, because people either start building it at the solo, go to a different speed during the solo, and then try to bring it back to a ballad type, or they go a little too crazy and it's over the top. But it's hard to catch if the person's talking about love, catch love in the solo. If somebody's talking about heartache, catch pain in the solo. But I will tell you, Bob did an unbelievable job on Ain't Quite Right. Dude, when you just listen back, if you are going through some shit and you need to mellow out a little bit, dude, that song is unbelievable. And I would put that solo up against any of the ballad solos that came out of the 80s.
Wow,
that's a bold statement.
Better than When the Children Cry solo, Poony.
Oh,
man, you just pulled When the Children Cry like right out of your ass for that. I was like,
no, he was listening to it earlier. That's what it was. He's got the Pride album sitting right in front of him. Oh, that's what it is.
That's one of my favorites. Actually, that song, every time I hear it, like. When I was like in, I think like 7th or 8th grade, this kid, Rich, got killed in like a car accident, and they played that at his funeral. So every time I hear it, I get all misty.
Damn.
It's all fucked up.
Damn. Where are we going? All right. My final song. I bet Jody knows. What is it, Jody?
It is Naked City.
Naked City. That song fucking rules, man. And, of course, I thought it was Ace Frehley, but now when you sit back and listen to it, you go, it's totally Bob Kulick. Totally not Ace Frehley. Just like when I listen now, I go, that is not Peter Criss on the drums.
Right.
And then in the live concert, it would have been, not Peter Criss on the drums. But, yeah, Naked City, great song. For me, it doesn't get much better than that. The solo, everything's great in that song, so I love it. So that was our top five Bob Kulick songs with Kiss. Once again, like I said, I'm as weird as it is, man. I've been reflecting so much for the past couple of days about the fact that I met Bob on a cruise. He signed my Killers record. He signed my box set. I saw him perform with his brother. The band was killer. I remember when it was all over, I turned to Karen. I was like, I could get off the boat now. That was so badass that I don't have to be here now. I can leave, you know?
Yeah.
And to watch them, to see Bruce live was cool. But to see Bob was even cooler. And that was because I never had that opportunity. And to see him, Bruce said something to the effect of, you know, Bob's getting his moment on this cruise. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something to that effect. And seeing him play with Paul and do the acoustic thing, and then we had him on our show, and this was all really cool. I'm really sad that he died young. I really am. I'm sad. This is terrible. Bruce, just a couple of years ago, lost his mom, you know, and now his brother. So it's just, and it's just all real. It's real tragic. But the only way to make it better is to put on the music and remember that and celebrate his talent and his guitar playing. And he just put a record out a couple years ago, and Karen, my girlfriend, loves it. And he was a real talent. And it's a shame, you know, that we're not going to have him anymore. You guys have anything else to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with you on all that stuff. I wish that, you know, that Kiss would release maybe something of that final performance with Bruce on the cruise. I think it was so perfect. And, you know, unfortunately, I think maybe that was the start of his mental downfall. I think, you know, they were so well received, and it was so mind-blowing to see those songs performed by the Kulick brothers that unfortunately, you know, in a way it went to his head a little bit. It maybe justifiably, you know, I think it was, you know, in my personal opinion, I think they did blow Kiss out of the water during that cruise. I would have much rather have seen that show than the Kiss show during those cruises. And, you know, that might have been, you know, a point in his life where he was like, you know what, I'm finally getting the recognition that I deserved after all of these years for performing these amazing songs from this Kiss world. I want more. And you know what? I know some backstage information of him demanding some things after that and blah, 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 blah. And that kind of caused some of the rift between him and Bruce and him and Kiss and
right.
all of that stuff. But I wish, you know, maybe all of that stuff gets swept under the rug and Kiss does the right thing. And I'm sure, you know, with all the video we've seen online is just usually fan stuff. I wish there was, and I'm sure there is, a professionally shot version of their set, one of their sets from that cruise that maybe Kiss can release and say, here's Bob at his best doing what he loved to do. And, you know, I hope they do the right thing and do something like that.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jody, you have anything to add?
I actually have one more question real quick.
Sure.
When we saw the Kulick brothers when we were in Indy, was that the last time that Bob and Bruce ever played together? Did we witness that?
Yeah,
maybe, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Crazy.
And that was smoking, dude. That was a good time. You remember when Ace came out and they did, wasn't it Foxy Lady? And then they vamped on the end. It was like,
yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was crazy shit. Yeah, man. That was crazy.
So we witnessed the last time, then. That's kind of cool.
One of those experiences. Sonny?
Yeah, just, you know, sucks to lose a Kiss brother. He's got a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, if I was in his position and did some stuff, ghosted on some stuff, nobody knew it. I shut up for 20 years, didn't say a damn word about it. Then it finally got out there. And still never got my due. I'm not sure I'd have been super happy about it. You got to give it to the guy for not basically saying a word for basically 20 years, right? And that's pretty damn cool of him. Hopefully people remember, you know, the first 68 and a half years, not the last crazy 12 months.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what I'm going to say? For the most part, I pretty much made my piece about the Bob Kulick thing. I hope he's playing guitar, just like Bruce said, in heaven with his mother and father and cranking it up. We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Peace.
afraid I've given you all the time I can spend at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.